welcome to the Plug Podcast today. I'm Kieran Rice-Lampert. We'll be joined by the panel in a few minutes, and today we're talking Bomber football, reviewing the season that was, and previewing a bit of the playoffs. But before we start, I'm going to start with my opening rant. We're going to touch on the Blue Bombers Award winners here. They announced their nominees last week, and we'll start with the most outstanding player, Chad Simpson, deserving nominee, a rookie, over 1,000 yards rushing in just 15 games after missing the first three games due to injury. A good building block for this offense going forward. We'll touch on him a little bit more later. Our defensive outstanding player was Alex Hall, an anchor on the D-line, making the losses of Doug Brown and Donnie O from University of Manitoba a little less to bear, as he got 9 sacks this year, tied for first in the league. He's going to be a good keeper for the years to come, and we're excited to have him. The top Canadian nominee was Henoch Mamba, the middle linebacker. He was a force on special teams and on defense, and he is giving the Bombers faithful a lot of excitement going forward as a former first overall pick, and he is definitely a keeper on this team and a building block for this team moving forward. The old line, the lineman of the year was Glenn January. This is a veteran player who really was patient with his crew this year, and he really helped develop this young line going forward, which, as we all know, needs to improve immensely if the Bombers are going to succeed and keep their quarterbacks healthy, whether that's Buck Pierce or anyone else going forward. We need a good offensive line. Special teams, no surprise here. Justin Pilardi gets the nod. 87.8% field goal kicking. Great year for him. He was big, and unfortunately, we all look back on the Boundary Bowl game this year and really question why he wasn't in there to kick the game-winning field goal when that win would have put the Bombers in the playoffs. No doubt, tough moment, but you know, we look back on Justin Pilardi having a nice progressing year as he moves forward, and we need that position to be solidified if we're going to have a consistent offense. But I'm going to end with the rookie. And he was one of the bright spots of the whole team this year, Chris Matthews. Not only was he the Bombers rookie, but he was the only one to get league-wide, the Eastern nomination, as these award nominees go to the division, and then the division nominates one player for the final for the awards during Grey Cup week this year in Toronto, of course. Chris Matthews, as I said, he's the East nominee for Rookie of the Year. He was the first rookie in Bomber history to have over 1,000 yards receiving, with a total of 1,137 receiving yards. He had 6 100-yard games, including 2 in his first 3 games this year. Great poise by a rookie, and he had 7 touchdowns. This guy's an all-star. He's pretty well a lock to win the Rookie of the Year. He's up against a lineman from BC, but we're really excited for this kid, see him develop. He's a tall, lanky target with a lot of athletic ability. Not the blazing speed, but a sure-handed receiver. And as we said, I said about a few of the other nominees, when you look at the individual talents, this team isn't that far away. And a few of these guys mentioned gives us a little bit of hope going forward. We're going to get into more detail right after the break, as into more of these players and more of the Bomber issues. I'll be joined by Jordan, Will, and Aaron. Stay with us on the Plug Sports Podcast. We'll be right back.
Okay. 5, 4, 3.
Zed, I'm Kieran Rice-Lampert.
It's recording.
Before Lockham became official, Evander Kane signing for 6 years, $31.5 million.
Oh my god, see dead.
You know, I guess Kane, he's an important part of the Jets, and I can't say that I'm upset about it.
You don't have to look at him for 10 minutes and analyze with your cat.
They look like a pretty good football team this year.
My wife's happy, yeah. I'm happy here. I'm not going to go over to the KHL, risk those flights, unregulated, yeah. Russian airlines.
That is how a young quarterback gets it done.
Game, Ray Lewis will commit his second homicide. What about you, Eddie, about the money?
What does that mean for the Jets?
Just go, anyway. Just start.
Hello, Plug Nation. Welcome to the Plug Sports Podcast. Today we are talking more football as both football seasons respectively move on. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers just finished their very disappointing 2012 regular season campaign with a 6-12 record, finishing the last game at Canada Inn Stadium with a 19-11 win over the Montreal Alouettes, closing the stadium in, I guess, some style. It was a season to forget for the most part, boys. And we're going to break it down for you today. So we'll just get right into it. The Bombers, clearly, their number one glaring issue is at quarterback.
right before we get into that, they announced that they'll bring back Joe Mack at GM and it's drawn a blank. What's our coach name? Tim Burke as head coach. He's also bringing back Gary Kroughton as our offense coordinator. A lot of continuity is what they're trying to sell. They let go of their assistant GM today, the guy who was in charge of a lot of the particulars of bringing guys in, you know, picking them up from the airport. This guy by the name of Ross Hodgkinson. And a lot of people were surprised by this move, but it really shouldn't affect the product on the field. He didn't have a lot to do with personnel. The Bombers, a few early interesting decisions by keeping everyone, saying they have 12 free agents, wanting to bring every one of them back. Questionable, like, I don't know. These early moves and announcements from the team have really caught me off guard a bit. My level of apathy has never been higher towards the Bombers, really, throughout this whole season. But they're 6-12, and they have their major issue at quarterback. We have still didn't even know who our real starter was going into this week's game. But we have Buck Pierce, Alex Brink, Joey Elliott, Justin Goltz right now. There are a few options out there, maybe, and we can get into that they can try to acquire, but it's pretty thin. So what do you guys like them doing going forward here at the quarterback position? Should we bring back Buck for another look? Do we want Elliott? Do we bring back multiple one of these guys? Let's start with you, Jordan.
Well, personally, I'm done with Buck. I think it's time to move on from the Buck era. Football is a full season there. We can't be playing half games. You have to be reliable to be playing the full game, which Buck definitely is not. Half the time he's getting dragged off the old turf there and into the locker room before half, and, you know, we can't build our team around that. As far as the backups go, you know, the only reason Brink is on the team is to push the ball 1 yard on third down, and that is not enough to take up a roster spot, in my opinion. So I think he's got to go, because really there's no bright spots with him. Even when he had the starting job for a while,
yeah,
he wasn't really doing anything. Elliott, I see there were some bright spots with Elliott for sure. He had probably had a longer chance at starting quarterback than did Brink, but he did show some bright spots. But even then, if we have some good quarterbacks coming in from the system or down south that we can bring in, I don't think his spot's guaranteed either. So I can see a full clean house. Personally, I think with the Bombers' track record that Buck will be back this year, which I'm not happy about.
Well, let's not forget that Brink had the most touchdowns of any Bombers this year. And I believe...
Oh, that's
seven.
Already forgotten.
So you're saying that he should be brought
so
back, or what?
Let's drop Brink back to running back. Put Simpson at quarterback.
He threw for like 1,300 yards this year, which really surprised me.
Well, the problem is this. Not only do we have no quarterbacks, but there are no quarterbacks in the CFL to get. And yes, you can go to the NFL, or yes, you can go to the States, I guess. But historically, it's rare for a first-time kind of like rookie to the CFL quarterback to do well. And that's because the CFL game is kind of strange, and it takes a couple years for these guys to develop and kind of get comfortable with the game.
And they never play a game like this, playing
exactly.
College in the States.
So we're really in trouble for the next couple years, because I agree with you, Buck. Buck is good. I like Buck. We've talked about Buck a lot on the show, and we all, I think, like him. We like his style.
He's very likable.
But
guy.
He just can't stay healthy, and therefore he's not an option. The other guys are not options because they have no skill. And one thing I like is McPherson. I think we should go after him. He's 29 years old. He's 2-2 as a starter. I guess 2-3 now. But, I mean, come on. He's playing the Bombers.
Montreal's backup.
That's pretty hard to win that game. But I think we should go after him and see where that goes.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen because the amount of years that Anthony Calvillo has left is limited, if any. So they will not be letting him go. And also, I agree with you, that Bomber front there. Since we don't have any rookie quarterbacks, the learning curve is over. And if they're not performing, they got to go.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would do. I mean, there's no question. I think we can all agree that Buck is the best quarterback we have. Obviously, it's well documented his injury issues. Now, I would be getting on it right now, scouting, looking for quarterbacks. And I would be telling my staff, you know, I don't really know how this... The scouting goes and how it works, how to track players, how to sign, when all these particulars work out. But if I'm Joe Mack and whoever the rest of the staff is, I'm going down looking for quarterbacks that I think can start the first game of the season next year.
There's one problem with that, though.
What's that?
That costs money.
Yeah, well, and that's something the Bombers lack, which is...
You need people watching players to actually scout players, and that involves paying people to get on flights,
yep,
paying for their hotels.
Well,
and that's... Obviously, the Bombers do not like to spend money, and that's been one of the main issues. We're so far behind in terms of, you know, the BCs and the Calgarys and scouting. That's such a disadvantage for us. We don't know who's good. We don't know who's coming up. And
there's no, they spend $300,000 less than the next closest team. There was a report last week. And I'm sure BC, Montreal, Calgary spend probably close to $1 million more than us. But we got to look. We got to be creative and try to find a guy who can maybe come in. Otherwise, we're going to have to come back with Buck. And, you know, we're going to have no choice. There's a few other options. You know, you look at Calgary, Drew Tate starting this week after only playing 3 games all year in the playoffs. Kevin Glenn. His name's been tossed around here. He was had a successful stint here, but he always had that, you know, underlying effect that he threw away games at key times.
Turtleman.
But we can't forget 07, 2007. He led us to the Grey Cup game and was hurt, obviously, in that East Final. And I think we all, you know, obviously biased, but Bomber fans believe that if he was playing in that Grey Cup, we'd win that game.
That's true. But the thing about Glenn is I think he's a Band-Aid for 1 year. We have him.
He's not
he
a
stops the bleeding,
man.
But we need to get that recruiting to get fresh blood into the system with the future, because he's not going to be the future.
That's
he's
why I think they got to be looking for young quarterbacks, but they still need someone to answer for next year, because we don't want to go through another 6-12 year.
And
you know, it's only going to take a 2-3 win improvement, and we're in the playoffs. So that's what the goal is going to be right now for the short term.
And TSN is reporting today that the Bombers are looking to re-sign a lot of their free agents, try to bring back the same team, which is a little concerning. Since last year, when we were in the Grey Cup final, they refused to spend money to sign players. And now, when we come off our probably our worst season in the past 15 years, they're saying that this is the year they're going to spend money on their free agents, re-sign them, which is, I just don't understand their front
office. It's a little bold, 15 years, but it did feel like a bad year. There weren't a lot of moments where we cheered. It was sort of a weird year.
We were never in it.
We won six games, but it didn't feel like we won six games.
No.
Well, you got any thoughts off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, one question I kind of have is, are we really the one quarterback I see that we have in the organization who could possibly still take a step forward is Elliott. I don't think we can totally write him off.
No. I'd like to see him in camp as well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we can write off Elliott. I think Brink's been around long enough that we've seen what he
I think Brink, do. There's. I don't know why he's even employed. I think he should have been cut today. Like
he does.
What's the guy? He's been here as long as Buck and Elliott, and he hasn't climbed the depth chart.
He scores touchdowns.
And he hasn't. Well, I mean,
yeah, 1 yard.
I could score those touchdowns. I mean, get him out of town. He's done. We see his height. We haven't seen enough of Elliott to know, but we have seen enough of Buck to know that when he's healthy, he's a capable quarterback. So it leaves that conundrum.
Because Elliott makes mistakes, but he's young and. I mean, you say go after McPherson, but McPherson makes tons of mistakes.
No, I don't think McPherson is the answer either. He looks like a glorified running back who can't... I don't trust him. I would rather have Buck or Elliott. But, I mean, like, you look at Kevin Glenn, he's got as much skill as Buck, but he stays healthy. So why not bring on Kevin Glenn and try to make the playoffs for the next couple of years? Because we know the East is a weak division. We know 9-9, which is what Kevin Glenn often gets you in the regular season. We know that can get us into the playoffs and can probably get us into, you know, an East Final potentially scenario.
The thing about Elliott is, like, I agree, he has lots of confidence. So that's always good in a quarterback. He's young, that's good too. But, like, I know he doesn't have a lot of experience, and you'll say, like, oh, well, you know, he's just got to get used to the game. But that game where he threw, like, 4 red zone picks.
That was horrible.
Like, that doesn't matter how much experience you have, if you've ever seen the game. When you're a quarterback, you know the importance of protecting the ball in the red zone. And that was just insane. And I think that stems maybe a bit from his confidence. He just thinks he can do whatever he wants out there, and he's got to keep it in check. And unless, you know, I think maybe he needs to mature a bit, and so maybe, I don't know, who knows, a couple of years down the road, but I don't know about Elliott. I don't think he can really win a bunch of games.
But I would like to see Elliott in camp because, he does have CFL experience. You don't want to have your entire quarterback arsenal with zero CFL experience or even zero professional experience, which normally happens when you're bringing in new blood into camp. And with Buck's injury record and the ineffectiveness of
Brink. I think Elliott's our best shot to bring a little experience. And I'm sure Goltz will be in camp as well.
Yeah, I'd bring back those three, let Brink go, and then hopefully we attract one or two new guys, and it's just an all-out competition. And you go with your two or three best for starting week next year, starting game.
We know unequivocally that Buck's going to be back.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, we don't know that.
No,
we
he's got the rib shop. You know he's going to be back. He's going to be slinging ribs. He's going to be slinging barbecues.
And he's engaged to a Winnipegger. He's got business interests here. But he may just live here. I mean, like, at some point, the team's got to make the decision. He's not guaranteed to be back. Let's say that.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
he is.
It's very likely, but I don't think it's 100%.
Of course it is.
He's got another year on his contract.
I think it's very likely. I agree with you.
The Longhorns are not going to be paying out anything for a guy that's not on.
Well, it's not guaranteed money.
There's no way that, okay, unless we bring someone else in to be number one, Joey Elliott, Brink, or Goltz is not going to win the starting job from Buck. That is guaranteed. If Buck's back, we don't bring everyone. If Buck's back, we don't bring anyone else in. He's the number one guy.
And that's what I think should happen. I think Buck shouldn't be handed the keys right away. I think it should be that you're back, you're invited back, you're fighting for this job.
No, he's not going to be handed the keys, but he's the best out of those four guys, hands down by a long shot.
We haven't seen enough of Goltz. I'm not so sure yet.
Give me a break, man. Goltz is
what about the other option I thought about is
Goltz the door.
What, did you like that one running play he had last game? So now you're all over it.
I did.
He can't do anything.
I'd like to see the management get creative, though, a little bit. I've heard rumors saying that the Stampeders want Chris Matthews for Kevin Glenn. And I think that's a high price to pay. But Troy Westwood brought up a good point on another radio show. That, you know, we were all in panic when Greg Carr left. Now, these guys are replaceable, these American receivers. Do we need a quarterback? I don't really agree. I don't know if that's a long-term solution to bring back Glenn for Matthews. I don't like that move, but something like that, creativity. Let's trade a skill guy. We have depth of
receiver. On the offense, so we had two bright spots, Simpson and Matthews. And I don't think that's a solution, especially for a guy like Glenn that is a very short-term solution, just to not have another terrible season. He's not going to bring us to the Grey Cup. I think I'm all right if they're actually going to be rebuilding and bringing in players.
Yeah,
for them to bring in new quarterbacks, because really we just saw a lot of the same things from last year, except we just lost pieces.
Will just brought some cloudy water to the table. I'm not sure about that.
Out.
Well, I have filtered.
And 2 6 of Maker's Mark bourbon.
Yeah, I have.
Will, how's the water at the keg?
It's not that nasty.
The bourbon's better. Sure.
Both the burbs?
Anyways, I like the way. Sorry for that little side tangent.
You look like Kieran's.
I liked the way the O line progressed through the year. I think there's some building blocks there. Obviously, Chad Simpson, great guy to build around. It'll be interesting to see him and Garrett in camp next year. You know, the offense actually doesn't seem to worry me as much if we can figure out the quarterback position and move forward from there.
It worries me a shitload, and I'll tell you why. I like your point about the offensive line. I actually think our offensive line played quite well. And I think that they were pretty decent coming up with Simpson. He was able to produce well this year. I think that they were able to protect the quarterback well. But the problem with the offense, first of all, we don't score enough points. Second of all, our first quarters are horrible.
Yeah, even last week in Montreal, against Montreal.
And so we got to fix that.
But what do you credit those first quarter starts to? Because like you... earlier in the season, we were talking about it was Tim Burke not pumping up the troops.
But it wasn't Burke.
But then
it was
the entire
East too.
It was a coaching staff, and then we go the entire season without anything happen. Does that? What do you say? What part of the field
is
that? The quarterback, the instability.
I don't know what it is.
Like, what is it?
It's not about pumping up the troops. It's about having an offensive game plan.
Okay,
execution.
The team has repeatedly said they hope Gary Crouton. He's a well-renowned offensive mind in football. Now, obviously, it's not Canadian football. This first year was a learning experience for him. Can he build on that? I think a lot of people are hoping for that within the organization, that he can build on what he's learned and devise a good system next year that the players will grow from, and the quarterback and the running backs and everyone will be a part of it. And this team will take that step forward with Gary Crouton knowing more about the game. And I can believe that. The guy has dominated at the college level in the States. He's been in the NFL. Like, the guy knows football. So I hope that this year was a learning process for him. And Tim Burke can take that step forward. And he can bring in a D coordinator that can focus on the D. And Tim Burke can manage the game as a whole. Because that's what a head coach needs to do.
But it all comes down to execution. That's what football is about. It's about executing your plays. And... we saw with the Bombers, they can't do that at the beginning of the game. It takes him half a game to really get into the rhythm and get into the swing of things. And I don't know. You can't just say that's the coach or that's the quarterback or that's this or that's that. That is the team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you fix that. But if the Bombers want to have a good season next year, they're going to have to do better in the first quarter, and they're going to have to execute better. And that's how they're going to do it. They're going to have to come out. And part of it, too, is the play calling. You know, run high percentage plays, run plays that players like, the players are comfortable with, the players know. And that's one of the ways you kind of get into the swing of things. Because, you know, even if you put together a few good plays, you don't have to score on your first drive or the first couple drives.
First down,
but just a couple
of
sustained drives, not a tune out. Like, we started tune out so many times.
You can't even get
into
the groove as a player doing that. You're on the field for 20 seconds.
We started down 14-0 so many times.
Down 21.
Before you even blink, you're deflated and you're playing catch up, and it's hard to do. So yeah, lots of work on the offense, and you know, Tim Burke trying to instill his culture. He looks interesting.
One thing that I was frustrated about Tim Burke, and I've told you this before, is we said we're going to bring Mack back. We said we're going to bring Burke back. Fine, I don't like Joe Mack, but he's the GM, and you bring him back, whatever. But the thing about Burke is, we brought in Burke because our coach got fired, and we didn't have a choice. And now we come out and say, without any kind of process or without any kind of vetting period, that he's going to be the head guy. But we never went through any process to find a head coach. And that really frustrates me. Like, we should have at least said, you know, we're going to, in the offseason, we're going to look into some options. We're going to see if Burke's the best guy. Because we never actually did that. We just bumped him up because he was the only option.
Yeah.
And now he's, and I don't even think he's a head coach. He's
that's
not head coach material.
That's
he was
a
defensive coordinator. And now he comes in, and somehow he won the head coaching job, but he didn't have to fight for it.
And
no,
in the same sense, if Lapolis would have come to the end of his career and left amicably, would Tim Burke moved into that position? I think not.
Probably not.
He got forced into that spot, so it seems...
They thought he did a good enough job. He went 4-6. Lapo was 2-6. I mean, that's not very...
But
that's not much of an improvement.
But let's also say that the organization didn't help Lapo out at the beginning of the season by going four games on the road.
This team had a lot of problems from the get-go.
Yeah, and the offensive line, they started
as
a lot.
As part of your point on Tim Burke, I think a big move of bringing these guys back was money. This team's got $80 million in the next 40 years to pay off with this stadium. We spend the least on football operations in the CFL.
Yeah.
You know, I think these decisions were a lot of money. This is why they want to bring back. They don't want to lure new free agents because they don't want to splash the money. They're going
to
try and bring back the same guys because it's going to cost them less.
And to quote our good friend Aaron Chalice here, that's what really grinds my gears about the Bombers. Is that they're going off, getting this new stadium. I think, personally, we loved our stadium. We loved what we were doing there. Spend some money on the team. You know, don't put us out to the suburbs and have a crap team.
I mean, the stadium will be a fantastic facility. It will be great once. It looks beautiful. It will be great. Aside from the travel, for most of us, that'll suck. But it is going to be a top-notch place to watch football.
I'm not looking to go on a road trip.
And that will help. That will help free agents. Free agents will look into that and look at that. So, looking at the D real quick here, I think there's some real tough decisions here to make because we had a core of guys last year that played phenomenally and really was the backbone of this team getting the Grey Cup. And this year, you know, a lot of questions were raised: commitment, passion, dedication. You know, you looked into guys like Javon, Subert, Hefney, these studs from last year just didn't look as into it this year, and they showed on the field. And so now you got to ask yourself some tough decisions. Are any of these guys coming back? Johnny Sears, free agent. Do you bring all of them back?
Do
they want to come back? How do you bring some back and not the others? Who would you replace? It's very difficult, and I don't really know. I think you might have to break up a couple guys, like a Jonathan Hefney might not have to come back.
Well,
I don't know.
I think a big thing is the Bomber front office really put the defense in a tough position with the free agents and their cuts in training camp. You know,
two Canadian linemen we lost, obviously Doug Brown to retirement.
Exactly. Okay, so you got your Canadians, and then you got Joe Lobandon from the linebacker, who was
great year last year.
Exactly, and then you got Clint Kent, who's going. And then all of a sudden, we see Javon Johnson, most valuable defensive player, playing linebacker halfway through the season, which
He had an awful season.
They need to find a consistent sound linebacker, though. That's an important position.
Your players aren't going to be performing to the best of their abilities when they're getting thrown around trying to find a solution by shuffling your lineup.
Yeah.
You gotta get players in that can play that position. They want to be specialists. You want them to execute. That's why half the time no one knows what they're doing. There's breakdowns on D. Like, they play good, and then all of a sudden there's a breakdown for 80 yards. There's no consistency.
But also, I mean, let's not forget, our offense is terrible.
No, and they're on the field, though.
When they go two and out, and then the defense comes on, plays 5 minutes, they come off, two and out, it's like...
I don't think our offense is that bad. I think we need consistency at quarterback. I think there's skill on the running back and the skill positions. And I think our O-line's growing. I don't think that's as worried as some, to me, as the D was. The D this year looked at times awful. I don't care what you say about the time possession. They were the ones giving up early touchdowns in games and not coming out motivated. That offense has the skill, guys. We need this consistency at quarterback. And I think we'll be okay. You know, I think this D really regressed this year. And that hurt the team more than the offense struggling, because we sort of banked on that.
The thing that really got to me, and to say to your point, Aaron, I saw a lot of times last year we lost games because at the end it just looked like the defense was gassed from keeping us in it all game. Mm-hmm. But this year, it was the exact opposite. The defense was giving up points right away.
And another thing, in some key games, I remember the BC game when we were playing some of our best football that brief period of the year. Key drives, we tie the game. Elliott comes back against the best defense in the league, gives us the lead, and the D crumbles in that key drive. The Banjo Bowl, there's a handful of games that I would put on the D losing on that final
drive.
But
for the defense, the offense is giving them no help in the sense that they're not even getting first downs.
For sure.
The D is playing as many possessions as some teams would play in an entire half in the first quarter. And then put that together with not bringing back all your starters from last year, shuffling the roster around, your defensive coordinator moving to head coach. That's not helping the defense. No. And the offense, on offense, I think there were some bright spots. I think the offensive line improved.
Huge. Unbelievable.
I would have thought the offensive line was done.
Our biggest concern early on in the year.
Chad Simpson, MVP, I think, like, for sure, team MVP.
Yeah, would like great to see him in a full season role next year.
We have bright spots in wide receiver, but the quarterback position, you can't win in the CFL without having that quarterback.
Yeah.
And that quarterback would make such a big difference for the defense, for the confidence of the defense. The defense doesn't feel like they need to win the game.
You saw it last year.
Exactly.
If we can rectify that, I think we're a competitive football team, at least a playoff team.
Just to get back to the defense, every time I think about the defense, I think about the way they looked as a unit. I mean, it's to the extent the same core of guys, your Kafts, your Subers, your Johnsons, right? And the way that they looked a couple years ago, or even just a year and a half ago, when they were flying all over the field, they were making tons of turnovers, but they were playing disciplined football.
Yeah.
And now they're not. And the moment I think, if you look at it, that it started to regress is when Richard Harris died.
That's not true, because the entire last season they played unbelievable.
No, they played...
There were a few games after the Richard Harris.
Let's not forget how we finished the year last season.
They didn't. And you got guys like...
You got to look at this team for the past season and a half. After that 7-1 start, which has really been the bright spot of Joe Mack and Buck Pierce's legacy here. It's just 8-game stretch, 7-1. The rest of the year, obviously, we go 3-7. This year, obviously, 6-12. The year before, 4-14. Those are some ugly numbers.
Yeah, one of the things people forget is, because we made it to the Grey Cup, everyone says, oh, well, last year we made it to the Grey Cup.
It was a down year.
Look at the last half of that year and this year. Like, we only had to win one home game to make it to the Grey Cup. Mm-hmm. Like,
we haven't won
good for us. That was,
since last
that was great. But still, like, we haven't really been good after we went 7-1. Like, because that Grey Cup wasn't really close.
And
we never, like, I mean, we had a chance
in that
Gary end.
But
we
went in that game.
But the thing is, are the discipline of those defensive guys, they're still skilled, but
they need to be more disciplined. They've been
on
in the league.
And off the field is awful.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
for guys who've been in the league 3, 4, 5 years.
Like the tweets before the Grey Cup. I mean,
well, Yeah, who cares about that? Like, people can say whatever they want.
But you can do that if you're playing well. But if you're not playing well, that stuff comes up as well.
No, it doesn't matter what you say. It's how you perform.
Yeah, people have
so that's what I'm saying. They're accountable for their actions on the field. What they do off the field, who cares?
It's true. I agree in that sentiment.
We talk.
If you start playing poorly, that can be brought in.
We talk
like,
a lot
what
of
are you doing off the field?
We talk a lot of trash watching football on Sundays. It's just, we're just talking. Everybody's just talking.
Yeah. Well, and before we keep rating the defense, there were a few good bright spots. Alex Hall on the line. Our D line was great. And I was just going to say, Enoch Mamba, Canadian middle linebacker that looks like we can build around for the future. He looks like he's going to be an all-around stud for a long time. He's a keeper. Friend of the show, Enoch.
That reminds me back when we had Brian Clark and middle linebacker there.
One of my all-time favorite players,
like,
Brian Clark.
You get those Canadian linebackers that you can anchor your defense
around.
American,
but Rylan Wickman, similar. He was a Canadian.
He was an American.
No,
he was. He played in Texas.
He played in Sacramento State. He brought up Charles Roberts.
Charles Roberts. He did.
But I'm going to be honest. I don't think this team. I think Montreal is regressing. Toronto's had a long time. The CFL is a very parity league. Before Ottawa comes in, the East is still rather weak. The Bombers are not. Like, if we can address some needs and figure out, obviously, the one main position, I believe Tim Burke can get the job done. I think he's instilling a bit of a culture. I think Joe Mack has an eye for some talent. If we can find that Canadian talent, we're not that far away. I think this team, we took that step back. Hopefully, whatever team comes in next year, we have this new culture, the new stadium, and we can hit the ground running and not start on 4 and be, because it was just a battle from week one where there was just nothing. And like I said to you guys earlier in the show, the cheering, I don't remember just not cheering very much at games. Like, even that 4-14 year 2 years ago, I remember cheering a lot and losing a lot of heartbreaking games, but there was a lot to cheer about at times. I remember the home opener then. Like, there wasn't much. There wasn't anything to cheer about this year. There were numerous games where it was done 10 minutes in, and hopefully this dying Bomber Nation fans, passionate fans, just thirsty for a Grey Cup, hopefully we can find a way to make the playoffs next year. That's all I'll take. I'll take a playoff team, and we're going to toast out the Bombers for their 2012. It wasn't a memorable one, but we still all love you and believe in you, and we want to see the blue and gold thrive next year. So if you're drinking while listening to this, raise your glass, and cheers to the 2012 Bombers and the future Bombers.
Rest in peace.
And onward and upward. We're proud of the Blue Bomber name, so proud of its glory and fame. We're best in the West, and we'll take on the rest when we get to the East. Last game, fight, let's fight through that line down the field. Our Blue Bomber teams never yield. Let's fight on to victory, for great is our destiny. So fight on, Blue Bombers, fight. Welcome back to PSP. We're going to wrap the show up today with more football talk. It's the CFL playoffs, and regardless of the Bombers being in it, it's an exciting time of year to be a CFL football fan. Football in November in Canada is a special thing, and it's a three-week run now to the Grey Cup as the teams are down to 6. Regardless, I'll be watching the playoffs week in, week out. It's been a pretty entertaining year in the CFL. Despite the Bombers' struggles, there's been a lot of good stories to watch. And we'll preview the first game here real quick. It's Edmonton at Toronto. Edmonton, of course, crossing over. Ricky Ray playing his former team, and there's some storylines here. Edmonton just firing their GM, Eric Tillman, this past week in a cloud of controversy. Former Bomber defensive coordinator, Kavis Reed, of course, the head coach. He's done an admirable job in his couple years there, taking them to the West Final this year. Obviously, questionable trade in the offseason, dealing with it. They don't even know who their quarterback is this week. Could be Kerry Joseph. Could be Matt Nichols. It probably won't be anyone else. Giles is hurt. But the Eskimos have a good defense. Obviously, J.C. Sherritt, linebacker, leading the league in tackles. Toronto, though, they're sort of they had a good year this year, 9-9. The line I saw going into this show tonight was Toronto favored by 3.5 on Bet365. I like Toronto in this game. I think there's a little bit of buzz around them. They're not in a terrible position to try and get this home Grey Cup game. They can win a home game and go to Montreal, a team they've beaten a couple times this year. And, they only got to win one road game, and they got a home playoff game for the Grey Cup. So like I said, I like Toronto. I like them to cover the spread pretty easily by maybe 7 to 10 points this week. Toronto's got a good team. Chad Owens, the East nominee for most outstanding player, had close to 4,000 yards all-purpose this year, set the record. Ricky Ray, I don't know if I've said it enough on this show, but I think he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in the CFL. And, you know, he's right there with Calvillo. And he's obviously an elite quarterback, winning a few great cups in Edmonton. He's definitely going to be extra motivated, whether he tells you or not this week. The team that traded him, he has a chance to eliminate them from the playoffs. And a chance to lead Toronto to some unknown territory with them only winning one Grey Cup this millennium, of course, back in 2004. So, yeah, I like that'll be. I think it'll be a good game, though. Some good defenses at play, some hard-hitting teams. You know, it's a small league, so there should be some rivalry, despite the fact that it's a crossover. I like Toronto, as I said. I like them to go into Montreal. Will, you got anything to add? He's still here, by the way. Yeah.
You know what? Every time I watch Toronto play this year, I do see the difference a quarterback can make. And the fact that I can never believe that any team would get rid of a guy like Ricky Ray.
Yeah.
I also think they're going to win today or this weekend.
Yeah.
I personally don't know if they're going to win in Montreal, but
that's for another time.
Exactly.
So, it's amazing to think that Stephen Giles, a Bomber cast off, was traded by Toronto. Pretty much straight up for Ricky Ray. And I tell you, if we could make a Buck Pierce for Ricky Ray trade, I think we might do that. Toronto 9-9, obviously, this year. So we both like Toronto roll. In the late game, a good classic Western rivalry matchup, Saskatchewan and Calgary. Calgary's owned Saskatchewan lately in the season series. Of course, earlier in the year, last meeting, though, Saskatchewan coach Corey Chamberlain said if John Cornish, who, by the way, is the West nominee for Player of the Year, we'd get over 100 yards, he was going to cut some players. That never happened. They shut him down, and they won that game. First one in, like, 9 games they beat Saskatchewan or Calgary. Excuse me. This one's in McMahon. It's going to be a late the late game on Sunday. Cold weather climate, we expect. And a bit of controversy around this, as Drew Tate has been announced as starter, playing only 4 games this year. Kevin Glenn was 10-5 this year, obviously well-known in these ranks. Calgary, I don't think it's going to matter. I think Calgary's a better football team. They have, like we said, the most outstanding player nominee in John Cornish. He is the first running back, if he wins the most outstanding player this year, he'll be the first running back since 1999, and Mike Pringle to win the most outstanding player. So obviously some elite company, and I think he's the first Canadian since 95 or 96 to be nominated for most outstanding player. Truly a great year for him, a great accomplishment. But Saskatchewan's no slouch. Durant, obviously, has had success in this league. 2 Grey Cup appearances. And you know what? Saskatchewan just seems to rise up in these games when they play on the road, especially in Calgary, which is why I like Saskatchewan to cover the 5.5 points you're getting at Bet365. In fact, I may even parlay those 2 picks because I'm pretty confident in them. I do like Calgary to win by about 3 or 4 points this week. I think their home crowd will help them. I think they're having a good year. They're very talented on both sides of the ball. Drew Tate is an athletic player. I am a little concerned about that. I think, you know, I'm going to stick with Saskatchewan, take the points. I like Calgary straight up, but I would put it more likely that Saskatchewan wins than Edmonton winning this week. But I do think Calgary is poised to, you know, to challenge BC this year. I don't agree with John Huffnagel's decision to play Drew Tate. You know, I think Kevin Glenn had a good year. He did everything he has asked of him. But, you know, that's a debate for another day, and it could go on for a long way. And he's got to go with the guy he thinks is going to win. And obviously that's Drew Tate. That'll be an exciting football game, though. Always good when those 2 teams get together, regardless where it is. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a good game. So, like I said, I like Calgary, but in a close one, 3 or 4 points. I expect Cornish to play a good role. Will, you got anything to add?
Well, I think that's going to be there's going to be an amazing atmosphere at that game.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever... there's any game that Saskatchewan fans can drive to, they
will. Best traveled team in the league.
Absolutely. I've been on the other end of it with some Bomber playoff games against Saskatchewan that didn't go very well in the years past.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan plays well in the playoffs. That's just something they do. It's part of their culture. They've always gotten up for these games.
At least the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, the last...
It wasn't part of the culture 10 years ago.
When they never made the playoffs.
Yeah.
but in recent history, and I like Calgary. I think they're incredibly skilled. I'm on the Tate bandwagon. I think I actually agree with him starting. he didn't lose his job. He got injured. I think he's a better quarterback than Kevin Glenn, all told. I don't think it's by much, but I think he is. And he's their guy, so I think they should roll with him. And I think they will win.
There you go. Well, John Huffnagel said the difference, everything was a wash between the two quarterbacks, and then the difference was the athletic ability and the scrambling ability of Drew Tate, which could play big in a cold weather game. You know, that can be a big difference. We've seen that in every year in the CFL. This will be a physical game. Don't kid yourselves on that one. But it should be two good football games. You know, CFL playoffs are always bound to incite some wackiness, and this year should be no different. We'll make a couple quick picks. I'm actually going to take Toronto to win the East. I think they're poised to just get hot and beat Montreal next week. And I like BC to come out of the West. I think Calgary is just... You know what? I was very close to taking Calgary to take the West, but I honestly think that the continuity will be that much off with Drew Tate there. I don't think he's bad. I just think the smoothness and the connection between him and the receivers isn't going to be what it would have been with Glenn. And I think Lule and those receivers in BC have been clicking since seemingly week one. And I think BC will hold serve at home and get to the Grey Cup. And I think they'll play Toronto in what we'll coin the Brayley Bowl in Toronto. It would be a rematch of 2004, as I said, when Casey Printers was benched for Dave Dickinson, a little history note there. And Toronto, with Damon Allen, won the Grey Cup quite this season that year. That was quite the shocker. But, yeah, I think BC repeats. You know, this team's just – there's just not enough flaws in this team. I think Toronto isn't as good, but I think they – you know what? I think they're a dangerous team, sleeping giant, 9-9. We've seen in the past that record's dangerous in the CFL playoffs. But I think BC over Toronto, that's who I'm taking. I did lay a couple bucks on Toronto at 9-1 on that aforementioned site as well. I just took it purely out of value because I think they need to win one road game and hold serve at home. They could win the Grey Cup. So, but that being said, I do like BC. If I had to pick one team, value pick, I said Toronto. We're excited for that. Football continues. But that pretty much wraps up our show today. Actually, before we wrap up, I guess I should give Will a
he wasn't gonna
choice.
Give me,
sorry about that, folks.
You're not going to give me my picks?
Will's going
to
try
well,
to this.
They're pick. Bound to be wrong, but I'm just going to go off the board
just for kicks
bit.
Here.
Just for kicks. I know that BC is probably the best team in the league. And
the best team does not always win this
game. And if the best
well.
Team always won, we wouldn't play the games, right? So I'm going to actually say... my Grey Cup is Calgary over Montreal.
All right, a rematch of the 2008 game.
I think it comes down to a field goal.
Field goal, huh? So he's getting real detailed. I think it's a rematch of 2008 when Henry Burris won with the Stamps in Montreal. That's just how quick my brain is, folks. I can contend with Tony Reale. I can contend with anyone. We've got some new changes coming towards the show. Don't forget to stick with Twitter. A lot more posts, a lot more tweets. Get at us, because we're going to get at you. You get at us, we're going to give you a shout-out. We're going to talk about you. We plan our show every week based on the events, but if you send us emails or tweets or wall posts or retweet us, whatever. I'm still learning Twitter, by the way. We're going to incorporate you in the show. No questions asked. If it's a sports question, we're going to deal with it. You're going to get a shout-out. So get engaged. Get involved. This is Winnipeg. But as always, we appreciate the listening. Enjoy another good weekend of sports. Football, you know, you can't get enough of it right now, and hopefully we'll have a show soon with the recent lockout news, as there's some excitement brewing around that. Still not a lot of word out yet, so the Plug Sports team will be on that, though, and we'll have a show sooner rather than later. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening, and we can all now get back to our regular lives.
Riding around that hoopty in the zone at 2-3. It ain't hard to find me. I'm wherever that loop be. I be smoking trees in Belize with a mommy. I was on the block selling peas when they signed me. Roll out and spark it. Work back in the market. Sour Kush, haze, Ari, everything except chocolate. Yeah, I'm constantly reeing. Stack whatever I'm seeing. Patiently just waiting for that Bentley SUV. House shopping online. Hate the fact that I'm shining. Feel the back of that nine and try to run off with the consignment. Stomp you out them AIs, stomp you out them D Browns. Do it for the hood and niggas in the P now. You know who I'm down with, what I move around with. They ain't in the building, but they got the building surrounded. All I do is weigh it, cause I ain't got time to count it. And the city is mine, ain't no fucking doubt about it.
What?
God damn it, I'm a genius. Swagger is the meanest. With green head chicks from Venus on my penis. Twisting up our fingers. You know who my team is. Swatch them up and fold them, then we treat them like the cleanest. Used to push the Jag, stolen tags, pick the cereal. Mouth bro, top row, full of gold material. 88 back, bass bumping through your stereo. Chicken noodle soup and mixing soda with the cereal. White like milk, got beige like a Cheerio. Pancakes and purple syrup and my breakfast is complete. New black scale shit to compliment the fleece. Reeboks of red bottoms straight from Swizzy on my feet. With some billionaire boys and some billionaire boys club. Probably push a Gotti, that's a billionaire toy, huh? Whole chemo zabi, I'm in Junior Watanabe. Mirakami or Versace and Givenchy on your boy, huh?
Right.
Haters, they can't stop me. Listen, they hit that rocket. Walking through the club, and bitches say I'm cocky. Walking through the club, and bitches say I'm cocky. Walking through the club, and bitches say I'm cocky. Chill back when I'm laid back. Sit back and I'm way back. Everybody better stay back. Bitch, don't say that. Back and I'm business. Came back and I kisses. Niggas wanna. Can I get a witness? Shit, I'm a fly. Bout to move the sky. Buy scats on my wall. Goddamn, I'm fly. Two Terrans and all that. Picasso's and all that. Rembrandts, you name it. Bitch, I got all that. Bout to me on my Skrilla. Came back with vanilla. Bitch, ask my color. I told that bitch vanilla. God damn it! Right. Right.
Boston Road.
Right.
Gun Hill Road.
Listen.
Truman High School.
Right.
Evander.
Right.
135.
Right.
Stone Mountain.
Listen. Right.
God damn it.
Right. Right.
I'm back on one.
Listen.
Back and I'm back and I'm on one. I can't leave you too long. Bitch, I'm on one.